And welcome those that are joining us live online. Good to see you all this morning. Usually I would say hi to a few people that were away, but they're actually here with us this morning. So I'm actually not sure who's watching live online. Why don't you email me or call me this week so I know who you are? Because most of you are now here that used to watch online, so that's great. John chapter 10, though, in verse 21, it says this. It says, "But others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Now, I don't know your story, but I felt like for 23 years of my life, the first 20 years of my life, I was completely blind to the things of the Lord. I didn't want to go to church. I didn't want to have anything to do with the things of God. When people told me, "Hey, you should go to church," or "I've been praying for you," I'd be like, "Get out of here. Leave me alone. You bunch of creeps. That's a bunch of weirdos." And so our thinking might be, though, which I would, when I witness to people, I say, if I come through the doorway of a church, I actually might kind of combust and catch on fire because I have so much sin in my life. And then when you think, oh, it's a Pentecostal church, like, I've heard bad things about Pentecostal churches, speaking in tongues and swinging from chandeliers and all these kind of stuff. But here you are. This isn't a library. You didn't like, oh, actually, what is this, McDonald's? Just kind of walk through the door. It's like, no, you're here in the Pentecostal church this morning. And we're going to look at the things of God. And so I don't know how you got here or who invited you or what you kind of felt like at home, but this is exciting in the house of the Lord together, just looking at his word. And so when I look at that statement that Jesus opened the eyes of the blind, at some point, each one of us had a story that we were blind to the truth and God opened our eyes so that we could see God for who he is and how much he cares and loves us. Have you ever felt like, you know, you thought, God's a pretty harsh God. He's a pretty judgmental God. He's always, you know, it was just a bunch of rules and regulations I got to follow. And then you met Jesus, loving, intimate Jesus who cares so deeply for you. And then your eyes, in a sense, were open to who God was. He's not mad at you. He loves you. He's passionate about you. He knows you by name. Isn't that the wonderful thing to think about? So what would make people say that statement, though? This is what I want to unpack with you. But others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a man possessed by a demon open the eyes of the blind? So what caused that statement to be said? What was said there? So we've got to unpack it. We've got to understand that before we can just kind of keep moving forward in the context. So let's go back to John chapter 10, verse 1. Are you kidding me this morning? I leaned over to my wife. I said, did I tell you what I was preaching on this morning? She said, no. Oh, there we go. This word is directly from heaven. Because God wouldn't speak to my worship leader and speak to my wife and speak to me the same exact piece of scripture. There's a lot of verses in this Bible. And for whatever reason this morning, God wants us to hear this and learn this morning. My ears are open, man. I'm excited about this. Last night I was so excited just preparing. I was like, woohoo! You know, it was such a busy week. I honestly had people in and out of my office all week. It was so crazy. I thought, okay, Lord, you've got to give me time. Friday night, I was up really late. I was like, this is awesome. I was at home just unpacking this piece of scripture. It was a joy and a privilege just to be in my house looking at the things of God. So let's read it here together. We already heard it this morning. Maybe those of us that are watching online, you actually haven't heard it yet. But verse 1 says, "I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber." You're going to hear a lot of different characters and a lot of different scenes here. We'll unpack in a moment. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Isn't that majestic? When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. There's so much in there we're going to look at. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because he does not recognize a stranger's voice. We don't recognize other spirits. We only recognize the Holy Spirit who speaks to us. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was saying. He's going to unpack some more in verse 7 to 10. It says they weren't quite understanding. You know, when Jesus says something, sometimes we're like, God, just another layer so I can fully understand it. We'll look at that in verse 7 and 8 in just a moment. But the first thing is we see here, if we look at our Bibles here, if we've got it open, chapter 10, wherever that lands, there's this whole story there. And so oftentimes in our Bible, we think there's chapters and there's verses, but we just have to read it like one big story. And so we want to kind of just back the train up a little bit to understand the statement here that Jesus is telling a group of people. So if we go back to chapter 9, we're going to see this bit of a story where there was this man that was born blind. It says in verse 9, chapter 9, Jesus heals a man born blind. Jesus does this wonderful thing, you know, spits on some mud, rubs it together, makes a mud pie, and right in the guy's face. You know, oh my word. And then he wipes it off. Oh, I can see it. You know, I've been healed. Isn't that great? And the Pharisees are like, that's ridiculous. We don't want to see that, right? They're all upset now because Jesus healed this guy and they couldn't do it. And so they begin to question him. So the Pharisees are questioning this guy that's been healed from his blindness. And they kind of hear the story. They say, okay, maybe this guy's lost his mind. Get him out of here. Let's get his parents in here. His parents will know better, right? So they bring his parents in John chapter 9, verse 20. We know he is our son, the parents answered. And we know he has been born blind. There's our son. He grew up. He was blind all the time. We see that. But how can he see now? And who opened his eyes? We don't even know. Ask him. He's of age. He'll speak for himself. So they began to speak with the blind man who received his sight and again questioned him again. This is so funny. You've got to just see this. Verse 26 of John 9. Then they asked him, the Pharisees asked him, what did he do to you? What did Jesus do to you? How did he open your eyes? How did Jesus open your eyes? The man replies, the man was born blind. He answered, I've already told you these things, and you're not even listening. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become one of his disciples too? Because you're asking so many questions? Isn't that cool? Isn't that a wonderful thought? Is that as you and I live our lives, and God does miraculous things in and through us, people ask you, what happened? How did that work out? Why are you so happy and joyful about it? You say, do you want to know about how I found that out? Do you want to know about Jesus too? Because Jesus is the one that did it in me. It wasn't me. It wasn't my willpower. It wasn't my efforts. You know, I practiced the principles of the way and now I'm this person. No, Jesus did it. And that's who we want people to find. They want people to find Jesus Christ. And so I love it that the people that didn't want to know about Jesus were going to hear about Jesus, whether they wanted to or not. Whoa, that's exciting. Ouch, that hurt my hand. It's not even in the message. When Jesus found the man who had been born blind that he had healed, Jesus asked him if he believed in the Son of Man pre-salvation before his healing. That happens sometimes. People get healed in Jesus' name. Then they find Jesus. We can find other stories too where you get saved and then you get healed. We can find both stories. So don't kind of think that there's a cookie cutter program about salvation and healing. It's just Jesus, if he wants to do something, he's going to do something. Verse 36, who is he, sir? The man asked, tell me so that I may believe in him. Who is the Son of Man? Jesus said to this blind man who has been healed, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking to you. Then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. See, this man was actually physically blind. And then his eyes were open so he can actually physically look at Jesus and say, whoa, there he is. You and I were blind. People are blind to the truth. But one day scales fall off so that we can see Jesus for who he is. Isn't that exciting? Maybe you're on this journey in life where you're like, I don't fully know Jesus. I've heard about him and I kind of like the church and some good people here. But one day your eyes will be opened in Jesus' name and you are going to see him for who he is. And all of your pain and your anxiety and your worry, it'll all be healed in Jesus' name because you'll know that you are a child of God. You're loved by God. You're a man and woman of God. That's exciting news. I'm done. Let's go. No, I'm just sorry. We're just getting warmed up here. Here we go. With that understanding and that context, so again, you've got to understand that backstory about talking about blindness before we start reading in John chapter 10, verse 1. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep by the pen, but by the gate, but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. Okay, so I've got a PowerPoint slide here to help us kind of visual. I'm just a visual guy, so I've got a PowerPoint slide here that's going to show a sheep pen. Okay, so this is pretty similar or pretty typical of what it used to be like back in the day. And so you can see a nice big wall. Because when it says that the robbers and the thieves had to climb over to get into the wall, it couldn't have just been like a little pony wall. He's like, whoosh, whoosh, you know, like it had to be actually something you might have to climb to get into to get to the sheep. And we can see here, because you don't want to lose your sheep, there's one very small, narrow. Where does that land in Scripture? The narrow way to find Jesus. We're going to unpack that just a little bit. So during these times, When it speaks of thieves and robbers acted in different ways, because thieves would actually come to you and maybe try and jump over this gate and try and steal your sheep. Other times, though, robbers, you would take your sheep out into the pasture to have them graze or to find some water. Then robbers would come, and as you went out, these robbers would steal from you. So the poor shepherd, man, that's an exhausting job. You think, oh, shepherd of the sheep, what an easy job. You know, it's kind of beat on the sheep, you know, get them going the right direction. But that's an exhausting job because while they're in the pen, there's people going to come in and try and damage the sheep. When you go out, there's going to be people kind of come in. And so you're 24-7. Like, no wonder why the shepherd said that lots of times he would just sleep in the gate because he was like, I don't want anything to happen to my sheep. It's a big job. I got to take a quick nap here. So they had to be on guard all the time. And so unpacking a few more verses here, 3 and 4. The watchman goes or opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. I love this idea that God knows each one of us. All of these sheep, you know, if you've got any kind of animal, you know that there's kind of little markings or there's little like, oh, he's got little white feet, so we call him Snowball. Different, I don't know, all these different things we call like little spots. Your nose is white and black or whatever. All these sheep would have been in some kind of form. You know, Joey and Bobby and Susie and, you know, like you would just know them all. You know your sheep. You would just remember them all by name. And so when we think about that, when we come to God, a good shepherd knows each one of his sheep. So let's go back into the Old Testament just for a second. We would see the same story. God knows us. So if we went to Psalm 147, verse 4, he determines the number of the stars and he calls them each by name. That's the prophetic word that was given this morning to confirm that piece of scripture. Isaiah 40, 26, lift your eyes and look to the heavens who created all of this. He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls each of them by name because of his great power and mighty strength. Not one of them is missing. If God can number and name all the stars that are greater than the sands on the sea, he will flippin' know you in Jesus' name, wouldn't he? Because there's only a few of us compared to that. He knows you by name. Just like a good shepherd knows each one of his sheep. And if one of them ever goes astray or is off or somebody's trying to attack him, he cares for them. Isn't that great news? That's a good shepherd. That's somebody worth following. That's somebody worth listening to. So at this point, too, if you think about when flocks of sheep would kind of hang out. So you got some neighbors. You know, you got your sheep over here. You got your pen over there. And you've got this guy on the other hillside. He's got his own sheep and his own flock. And so, like, obviously every so often you want to hang out. You're like, you'd go stir crazy. If you were just kicking with sheep all the time, you'd probably go insane. Woo! You know, you can have some alone time with Jesus. I do get that. But you want to interact with some other people. Okay, so you and your buddy get together. He's got 100 sheep, you got 100 sheep. And all of a sudden, they're all grazing or pasturing or drinking water from whatever. And you, ha, 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 you're joking about, oh, the other day there was this wolf and this bear, and I just tagged him right in the face, and all kind of, you'd share stories, a slingshot, whoosh, you know, whatever it was. It was a great time you had together, and then you're like, okay, time to go. It's getting dark. Dang, all these sheep are all just like all over the place. But these shepherds, those sheep knew his voice. Those shepherds, or whatever, I don't know, I can't even whistle very good. You know, they used to be able to sing a song. They'd be able to play on their flute. They would say or do something or act in a certain way. Have you ever seen somebody far off walking? You're like, hey, that's so-and-so. Yeah, I can tell by the way they, or they, you know, I don't know how we walk, but anyway, you would just know. You know how they carry themselves, right? The sheep, no, that guy starts walking. The sheep, that's my guy. I'm going that way. And so the shepherd knew that. The sheep knew his voice. They sensed him. And when he spoke, they listened. He said, go this way. And they went that way. Whoa, that's a lot of fun to think about. John chapter 10, verse 5 and 6. Just unpacking a little bit more here. But they will never follow a stranger. They know him. They know how he walks. They know what to listen for. In fact, they will run away from him because they don't recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was trying to tell them. In this context, the strangers, or these thieves and robbers, Jesus is gently referring to those Pharisees. those religious leaders of the law that were misleading the people, misleading the sheep. Jesus is gently like poking at the Pharisees, and they're like, I don't quite understand what he's saying. It's just going right over their heads, right? So he's going to unpack it a bit more in verse 7. But here's the important part is that when you receive Jesus, you're like, the blinders have come off and Jesus has set up camp in your life. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. When you hear a voice that's not the Holy Spirit, it should be like a stranger speaking to you. It should be like a voice you don't want to listen to. It should just make you kind of like uncomfortable. You should, that's not right. That's not God. That's not the Holy Spirit speaking. I want to, as it says here, they want to run away from that stranger. Run away from that thought. Run away from that emotion that is not from God. Listen to God's voice. I love you. I care for you. I want the best for you. There's better days ahead. That's the voice of God. When I feel worthless or a failure, I don't deserve to be here, I'm damaged goods, that's a stranger's voice. That's the wrong spirit. We don't want to listen to that spirit. Okay. Here's the whole gist of what I want to say in just a moment and unpack it with you that I think is what the heart of God wanted to say to us today. This is good. We've got to get context. You've got to understand the background. Here's the point of the message, though. Verse 7, therefore Jesus said again. Again, it went over their head. They were saying, we're not quite understanding what you're saying. They don't understand what he was trying to tell them. So therefore Jesus said this again in verse 7. I tell you the truth. He was telling them the truth before. He's going to remind them of the truth and help them really understand. All these different characters we saw, watchmen and men and sheep and shepherds and gates. Jesus says, I am the gate for the sheep in the story. Yes, we know that Jesus is a good shepherd and he wants to take care of us as sheep. But in this parable, in this teaching, the reason we've got to understand this is that Jesus is saying, I'm the gate. I'll help you understand it in just a sec. All whoever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in, get saved, and he will come out and go out into this pasture land. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it till the fullest. I've got another slide because it really helps me. I have children. I grew up playing with certain items, and so hopefully you'll understand this. So here's the sheep pen one more time in modern age. You know, there we go. In the upgraded version, Jesus, the Lego sheep, which is brilliant. I am the gate. You better take that off the screen before I get into too much trouble. Okay, so we think about Jesus as the shepherd, but in this story, again, Jesus is the gate. Why is that important? Think about this for a second. Using the church as an example, so it helps us, because sheep pens and sheep, we all a little bit, you know. Okay, people, if this is the pen, we come in through the front door. If you came in the back door, God still loves you, still, you know, hopefully, like, you're not coming, you're not jumping over the fence. I'm not trying to say that at all, but we've got to enter in a certain way. So when you came here this morning, was the purpose to meet with Jesus? Because as you came through the doors, that came through the narrow opening to get in, I can't bring you. I can't bring you through the gate. It's a one. Have you ever gotten to, you're going down somewhere, oh, single line. Like single line through the gate. So that you individually, each one of us have to go through so we can meet with Jesus. We have to come there by ourselves, not under somebody else's, you know, to enter into the pen, enter into the church so that we can meet with Jesus. And then it says when we leave here, we'll have to leave the same way. We have to leave through that narrow gate as well and have to pass by Jesus again. Oh, isn't that awesome? Isn't that just wonderful to think about? That we cannot, as it talks about, kind of come in the back door in a sense of jump over the fence or come in a different way or we're here for a different reason or we're going to serve somebody else or some other teaching or something. We have to meet Jesus so that we can join the community, the church, the family of God. And then when we leave here, we leave with Jesus with us. Isn't that a great thought? You know, some churches have this wonderful statement over their door. It says, you're now entering the mission field as you leave the church. Man, that is a bold statement. That's a brilliant statement. So we go out from here with Jesus and we meet Jesus here. It's not like we go any other way or listen to any other voice. Verse 9 of John chapter 10 says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and he will go out and find pasture. So if we go back to the shepherd story just for a second here, a shepherd would do a certain kind of routines. He'd have a bit of a schedule. So in the morning, he wakes up, you know, the sun comes up. You're not sleeping anymore. Sun's beaming in your eyes. There's no house. There's no blinds. You know, you're up. You're awake. The shepherd would take the sheep out and they would graze in the grasslands. They would take them to find water in the morning, so you got to eat and drink. And then as the heat of the day, hopefully they could find shelter, not always, but typically in that part of the world, oh, praise Jesus, there's the sun, and it's warm. Not like the sun here, like, oh, it's so nice, the sun's like, you know, scraping your vehicle. It's freezing out there, it looks nice, but no, actually over there it actually was nice. And so the midday, have you ever been on vacation somewhere, like, noon, 1, 2, or 3. You're looking for AC, baby. You're not thinking about it being outside, you know, burning in the sun. You need to find some shelter. So the shepherd would do it, find them some shelter. Then in the cool of the evening, again, you would take them out and they graze and they would drink. And then they would go back to the pen, a full day out on the land. And what would happen? You know, we hear those stories, right? You know, the shepherd would be like, okay, yeah, 1, 2, they actually have names, but you know, 3, that's what helps you go to sleep, right? 4, but 6, you know, 7, 8, 99. Ah, we're missing one. We're missing Bobby. You know, oh, you freak out. You yahoo stay here. I got to go find the one. And that's the story, right? Do you see that? Jesus knows us. He's intimate with us. He knows us by name. He cares so much for us. And every single day, he's wanting to, in a sense, check in with us. How are we doing? He wants to meet and talk and be with us. That's the wonderful story of this. Verse 10 as well in John 10 here, just a little bit more here. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the fullest. So a bad shepherd or somebody who was in it for their own business would be an unfaithful leader. They would act on their behalf. They would be like, how can I benefit from this? Or they would, you know, steal certain things. But a good shepherd, he would protect those sheep with his life. He wouldn't allow those thieves or those robbers to come in. We hear about David, you know, slinging, you know, animals, all these kind of things that he would fight with because he was caring for each and every one, even the little black sheep, even the little runt sheep, even the little sheep that's always goofing on 99. Where's that idiot sheep again? You know, we got to, you know, got to put a little tag around him or something, a little GPS. You got to go find him again. He's lost again. Jesus cares about each and every one of them. So when we hear that story, it tickles my fancy to always think about this idea. It's like, yes, New Testament, Jesus, you and I, you know, the end times, this is where we live. But some people lived a long time ago as well. And so we got to go back into the Old Testament, and there's the same exact story. If we go back to the book of Ezekiel, and Ezekiel's, you know, maybe about halfway there. And we look at Ezekiel 34. The heading of this passage says, in most Bibles, it'll say, shepherds and sheep in Ezekiel chapter 24. Now, just for timing's sake, I can't read it all, but I encourage you to go back and read it. I want to just share with you a couple of these verses, and you're going to see, like, that is the same story. God is wanting to speak the same truth to us, whether we go live in the Old Testament or we live in the New Testament. There's something to be taken away from here. So let's just look at it together. Starting in verse 2, the Son of Man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat curds, clothe yourself with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. This is what a bad shepherd does. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered all over the mountains and on every hilltop. They scattered all over the whole world and no one searched or looked for them. This is what Jesus is referring to or speaking to the religious leaders of law, speaking to the Pharisees. You are bad leaders. Your people, that you govern are sick and injured and run astray and out of control, and you never cared for them. You never even thought about them. You never prayed for them. And that's what he's saying, what not to do. Don't act in these ways. How should we act? Let's look at the good things. How should we act? How would a good shepherd act? Verse 11, for this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. That is a good shepherd. We will care for people. We will know them by name. We will pray for them. And when they ask us, we will tell them about Jesus. We will point them to Jesus. That's what our calling is, as a good leader, as a good shepherd, in a sense, if we were to put ourselves in the story. Verse 12, as a shepherd looks after his scattered flock, when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from all nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into my own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in all the settlements of the land. I will tend them in a good pasture on the mountain heights of Israel. They will be grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there will be rich feed for them in the pastures of the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep, and they will lay down, declares the sovereign Lord. Do you know what it takes for a sheep to lay down? It actually needs to be free of all anxiety and worry and fear before it can actually stop on his little legs going, you know, all the time with his little chickeny legs, like he's cold. You're always worried, you know, because he's a prey animal. He's always thinking, like, something's going to attack me. Something's going to eat me. Something's going to, he's just always, you know, it's when he has a hard time eating and drinking. That's why he's so small. I'm joking. But you're just saying, like, he's always freaked out. But then there's a time when the shepherd's got him to a good place. He's singing a little song. And it's the sun setting. You know, all this is the right moment. And then the little sheep, he lays down. And he's at peace. We actually need that too. We are like those sheep. We're so worried. We're so bound up. We're so like just anxiety and fear and worry all there. The phone rings. I don't want to answer it. You know, Jesus wants us to relax and be able to stop and lay down and pause and reflect and be with Jesus. That is so important. That's really the overarching point of the message here. I will search for the lost and bring them back to strays in verse 16. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. The sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd my flock with justice. See, God cares for the lost. He wants to bring back those strays. He wants to bind up the injured. He wants to strengthen those that are weak. That's what a good shepherd does. A little bit more here. Again, you can read it all later. Verse 25. I will make a covenant of peace with them and rid the land of all wild beasts so that they will live in the desert and sleep in the forest of safety. God will get rid of the enemy. He'll get rid of all these bad things and so that you can live in peace. I will bless them in the places surrounding my hill. I will send down showers in season. There will be showers of blessing. God wants to shower you with blessing. They're actually happening all the time. It's just sometimes we don't recognize them because we're so worried. The trees in the field will yield their fruit and the ground will yield its crops. The people will be secure in the land. They will know that I am the Lord. When I break the bars of their yoke and rescue them from the hands of those who enslave them. The bars of their yoke represent, you know, when you've got two oxen, we talked about this last week, is that the guy bought five yoke of ox. And so there's this yoke on two animals, and there's usually a plow right there, so plow the field. And so that's a good thing to do for your animals. But for you and I, we shouldn't be treated like animals. And we've yoked ourselves to addictions. We've yoked ourselves to fear. We've yoked ourselves to worry. We put this yoke of heaviness, or this, we call it like a big old backpack, or this big bag we're always carrying around. We've yoked ourselves to that. And God says, I will break that in Jesus' name, so that you can feel restful and peaceful and sit down in Jesus' name. That's what God wants to do for us. So let's go back now and just finish off the story. Now that we've got a lot of context there, so when we read it, when we read the rest of John chapter 10 here, we understand Jesus is the gate. We come in through Jesus. We get filled up with Jesus. We leave through the gate. We get filled up with Jesus. We head out there. And so we've got to understand the context here. We get all that. And so we see in the very last story here of John chapter 10, a little bit more reading. I just love scripture, so I just want to keep reading scripture. So just a bit more, and then we'll kind of put a little bow on this and say goodnight. Not yet. It's only the afternoon. John chapter 10, starting in verse 11, because again, we read from 1 to 6, unpack that a bit, 7 to 10, unpack that a little bit, and then here's what Jesus is saying. He was the gate as the example. Now he's going back to verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. When the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it, the man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. A good shepherd cares for people. You and I, as Christians, people that follow Jesus, are to be like good shepherds. We are to care for people. When they're hurting and they're lost and they're broken, we don't run away. We're not like, well, I'm Christian on Sunday, but on Monday when I have to go to work for that boss, you know, forget that guy. You know, like, we don't act like that. Or when you go to the grocery store, well, you don't act like that. When you go on the golf course and the guy, you know, steps on your line or kicks your ball or does something, you don't act like that. You know, well, I'll be Christian on Sunday, but on Monday, you know, like, forget that. All the time. That's a good shepherd. He cares for his people. We don't act a certain way. We are a certain way in Jesus' name. I am the good shepherd in verse 14. I know my sheep. My sheep know me just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Is that, yes, there's people right now in church, but there are a ton of people that are not in church. And God says, those are mine as well. They're all mine. And they're all going to be in fellowship together. That's the wonderful news. Every denomination is going to come together in the name of Jesus. They too will listen to my voice, and they shall be one flock and one shepherd. In heaven, one voice, one God, one Holy Spirit. You know, one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that when I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. When Jesus laid down his life, it's not like the enemy won. Jesus laid it down on our behalf because he knew that we were caught up in sin, and he knew that we needed salvation. But then he took it up again because he has that kind of authority that the grave couldn't hold him. At these words of the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, he's demon-possessed and raving mad. It is like that to non-believers. They are blind to what that is trying to teach them. Listen to him. But others said, as we talked about when we started this sermon, others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. No! Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? I know who this man is, and his name is Jesus. Do you know him? Isn't that just a great piece of scripture? That's a wonderful thought. We must bring people to Jesus. Don't bring them to, you know, any other thing but to Christ. They've got to confess. They have to repent of their sins. They have to get right with Jesus. Then we get to hang out together. Lots of fun. But then we leave with Jesus. We don't leave with, you know, a good teaching by Pastor Al this morning or like, he gave me a free book or something like this. No, you left being filled up with Jesus. You left being filled up with God's word. That's what we came here to do, and I hope you received it well this morning. Thank you, God, for his word in Jesus' name. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for the truth of your word that speaks to us all these years later. It makes so much sense. The simplicity of your gospel resonates deep in our hearts this morning. Father, we pray that these seeds of your truth, your word, would land on fertile and good soil today. Lord, we want to continue to grow and to mature, to be more like Christ. So thank you for this elementary, foundational teaching that's in your word that equips us and teaches us how to live and how to act. In Jesus' precious name, we give you glory. Amen. Amen.